Hello and welcome to another edition of the Marlena Program. This is the program for the week of March 31st. Holy moly, it's March 31st. What happened to the winter? We've got a very informative program lined up for you tonight. We're going to be talking about advocating for one of the most important rights we as Americans have, and that is the right to vote. So come on in and get comfortable and join me, Marlena, for this week's edition of the Marlena Program, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. All right, we've got some technical things going on, but I think I'm going to bring our guests in here if I push that button, and sounds like that might have happened. Before we bring our guests in, I'm Marlena, and it's awfully wonderful to be back with everyone again this week. It's been a few weeks. We had a little hand surgery. That was kind of interesting. Stayed awake during the surgery, let me tell you. It's gives you a whole different perspective of getting surgeried when you're lying there listening to snip, snip. Oh, my gosh, is that tendon tight or what? Like, okay, we'll just fix it. And so that kind of made it a bit difficult for me to be here for a few weeks, but we are definitely back again and ready to rock and roll. Let's go through some of the preliminaries. The time changed on us while we were gone. Wow. You go away for a little bit and look, they changed the time. So if you are listening to this program at any time other than the hours of 9 to 11 Eastern or 6 to 8 Pacific in North America, any time other than that, or 1 to 3 UTC, which is so early in the morning, what the heck are you doing up? But if you're listening at any time other than those times, it's a repeat, and we won't be able to take your call, but we will always lovingly accept your email. And so if you're not listening live, just put your feet up and enjoy. The show is heard for 24 hours after its initial broadcast, and then there are actually people who download it as a podcast. So I never know where I'm going to be and when I'm going to be there. If you are listening live, nothing has changed. The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926, and we will be opening the lines in just a little bit. A few weeks ago, actually, it's probably many weeks ago now, I received an email from someone whom I'd never met, and she stated that she was very interested in coming on the program with her friend and talking about what certainly one of our very active affiliates, Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, what one of its affiliates has been doing in terms of voting rights access, specifically the Monroe County Council of the Blind in Pennsylvania. So we had a date all set up, and then something happened, and then Sabria Tenberkin phoned and said, I'm only available this one Sunday in the United States forever and ever and ever. So we kept rescheduling and rescheduling. But it is now finally my pleasure to introduce you to Mary Ann Alexander. Mary Ann, first let's say good evening to you. How are you?
Hi, Marlena. I'm just fine.
We finally did it, eh?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And joining you is also Thomas Reed. Thomas, good evening. We haven't spoken.
Good evening, Miss Marlena. How you doing?
Just great. It's lovely
that was a great introduction, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you.
That was really nice. I'm ready to go now.
Well, there you go.
Is that us?
That's his. Who is she talking about anyway? What is she talking about? Well, it's great to have you both on. And let me just publicly again thank both of you for all of the delays and the disruptions and the changes and everything, for hanging in there with me. It isn't usually this hard to get on my show. So, I just really appreciate that. Let's kind of lead up to how you got started in voting rights advocacy and voting rights access. And Marianne, let me start with you. Have you been blind all your life?
Yes, Marlene. I was born blind with a degenerative retinal condition, something like retinitis pigmentosa, except that it started out with pretty poor vision.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Thomas?
No, I lost my sight about 4 years ago.
Ah, so you're a newcomer.
I'm a new gen.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
We'll have to play some of those tricks on him, Marianne, you know. Move the sugar and, you know, get the...
I have to work with him, Marlena.
Forget it. Okay. We'll be kind. Yeah. So, Marianne, I presume that you've been involved with the Pennsylvania Council and in particular the Monroe County Council for a while now?
Actually, our whole council has only been in existence. The Monroe County Council has been in existence only since December of 2005, and actually Thomas was a founding member. I've lived in Monroe County for about 14 years and didn't know there were other blind people around until I was introduced to the Monroe County and another organization in the county. So actually Thomas was one of the founding members.
That's fascinating, Thomas. You're the new guy, and yet you kind of got it together and said, we need to do this, and so we're going to get it together, and we're going to found an advocacy organization, and we're going to get this job done.
Yeah, that's partially correct. I mean, it wasn't just me. I am the new guy, but there were about seven other individuals, and we all met at a support group and decided we wanted to do some things in the county. We wanted to make some changes. So yeah, then from that point, we just got together and we worked with another group that's not too far away from us, Lehigh Valley Council of the Blind. And they helped us get affiliated with the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, and we started rolling from there.
How many members do you guys have?
Right now, we're in the 30s.
Wow. That's great. I mean, just having one chapter kind of pick up this mantle within, you know, approximately 30 members, that's, you guys must have a lot of people who really come through and pull their weight and do their jobs. Tell me, why voting access? How did this all get started?
Marianne, you want me to take it, or you want
to? When the voting machines were installed, the accessible voting machines, when they were installed into the county, we all went out, well, Thomas and I and some of the others who are who need voice as part of voting, and were discouraged from using the voice component to the voting machines. Pretty much were given all the same line that it would take approximately 45 minutes or more to complete the procedure of voting. That was in November of 2006.
Now, who was saying this to you?
Pretty much all the poll workers. It was kind of seemed like a standard line that they were given to to use on anyone who wanted to use the accessible components to the machine.
Yeah, because immediately after the election, we kind of wanted to get everyone's opinion on how it went for them, because that was the first time, that we were doing this. So we found out that everyone who went voting got the same exact line. It's going to take 45 minutes.
Wow.
Are you sure you want to wait? Would you rather go in with someone? So,
wow.
I'm tired of it.
So you then decided, apparently, that not only did you need some physical access, but you needed to change some attitudes.
The attitudes with a
that was the major part of it.
Yeah.
The physical access was in place, but we needed to change the attitudes and the images and all of that. And So we opened a dialogue with Sarah Mae Silfy, who's the director of voting in Monroe County.
How are you?
I was going to say that it actually started from a letter. We decided to first write a letter that we sent to the commissioner's office as well as to the local paper, who did publish it as an editorial. And that's when we got some feedback from the commissioner's office, which was the director of voting.
How were you initially received by most people? I mean, it seems so amazing to me, and it may happen, and it just hasn't been a part of my experience going voting. I mean, unfortunately, I can only vote once, so I only get one shot. I'd like to vote more than once, especially in this upcoming election, but they won't let me. So I only, get one experience, which is mine. But how were you received? I mean, did they say, "Oh, well, we're not saying that," or did they greet you with interest, or what was that like?
I think it actually was pretty. It was a pretty good greeting. Once they received the letter, we got a call from the commissioner, and she decided that she wanted to send this on to the director of voting. And they were, from that point on, once we sat down with the director of voting there, I mean, they received us very well. We just told them exactly what we wanted to do in terms of the sensitivity. We told them about our various experiences. And we went to the table with some suggestions. So it wasn't just like we were, complaining about it or anything. We had specific suggestions. And I think everyone knew it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What were some of the suggestions that you wanted to see them change?
Well, that image thing in terms of, the dissuasive attitude that they had, where they wanted everyone in 45 minutes, it's going to take you 45 minutes. We wanted to get rid of that. We wanted to just say, hey, if it's going to take us 45 minutes to vote, well, that's our problem. You know,
mm-hmm.
We prepared to go ahead and do it because this was the first time we were able to vote independently. So that was one of the things. Another was the whole really just kind of training them on how to interact with blind people. One of the things that happened to me, and I'm sure it happened to many of the listeners, when I went into the polling place and I had to sign my name, it was like this big production. I was in there with my wife, so they went, oh, can he sign? Where can he sign? How should we do it? It was this whole big production. It was just, gently show me where I need to sign, and I took out my little signature card,
mm-hmm.
and they were kind of amazed by that. people, they never seen it before, especially in this area. They just never seen it before.
So
we just wanted to talk to them and do a full training. So those were the two that I can think of right now. Marion, yeah?
The sensitivity, and we had, at the time, we had suggested trying to get a phone line that would allow access to the ballots and instructions to the machines ahead of going to the voting place. We'll tell you more about that later, but that didn't get put in place last year. We did get the online balance. However, our first suggestion was a phone line so that folks could call in and listen to their ballot and be more prepared once they got to the polling place.
Sure, sure. Does your state provide Braille copies of the ballot booklet?
No, they don't.
Washington State. Yeah, Washington State does, and I tell you, it's a very, very useful tool, because you do know in advance what your ballot looks like. Now, it doesn't go down to the local ballot. It stops at the county, but it certainly is a huge help. Let me just let folks know that we're talking with Marianne Alexander and Thomas Reed. They are with the Monroe County Council of the Blind in Monroe County, Pennsylvania, part of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind. And we've opened the phone lines. The number to call is 866-666-7926. And in the second hour, we will pretty much be open forum. So if you call in the first hour, you certainly may call in the second hour. So You got the initiative together to kind of take on City Hall, as it were. How do you talk about how you do that? How does an average person kind of figure out how to get started, and where do you get the guts to advocate with people who are sort of your public figures and public officials?
Well, once you've determined who it is that is in charge of a particular task in your county, then opening, writing a letter as we did really seemed to work in terms of at least getting their interest. I think the problem isn't so much that they're not willing to work with you as much as, at least in our case, we were fortunate to say that it was that they didn't know what we needed. You know, they didn't know that they didn't even know that we were getting the line of the 45 minutes and it's going to take 45 minutes. But once they did, once we brought some of the issues to their attention, it seemed that they were willing to help. I think educating is the first place to begin in anything, in any endeavor that you take on in advocacy. Your first goal is to educate them and to let them know that these are the things that we're looking for. This is what we need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we didn't go to the table with a, taking on the City Hall. I mean, I know what you mean, but we were really, from the get-go, we were telling them, we want to work with you.
We want
to work together. Mm-hmm. And that was the way we continued with it.
And that does make a big difference, doesn't it, to
how you approach.
Yeah, I mean, that keeping that smile, keeping it positive, but also keeping it pretty darn directed that, hey, we got a problem here, we want to help you fix it. We have a phone call, and before I take the phone call, let me indicate that my board tells me that you might be hearing my canary break through every once in a while. So if listeners hear a high squeak, it's not your computer, it's only my canary four rooms away. Uh-huh. So, Arthur, it's daylight saving time, and he's up and at him. Hi there, you're with Marlena, Marianne, and Thomas. Who's this?
Hello, I'm Joe Secor from near Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Joe.
And I voted on the Ivotronic machine here, and Philadelphia area has had some demonstrations, but we had an interesting turn in that in November, the city commissioner that was in charge of it had said that only 19 people had voted on the equipment in Philadelphia. And I've come to believe, at least in our area, that the hardest thing to do is to convince people to actually use the equipment. Maybe it's because of the city being a one, pretty much one per party town, people vote straight.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to vote straight, why should I? I can think of, three or four different reasons I think why people are resistant to it. But
what are the other reasons you think people are resistant to it?
Well, a lot of people don't have as much experience with adaptive equipment as we might want them to have.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in and you get hands-on with something twice a year, and if your first experience into that training is key, and having that phone experience, I think, could be a great help.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've gone to the malls or wherever they have it, I've found that the person is just waiting to see what's going to go wrong. And I think I made them mad because I really actually tried to fill in the writing portions of the practice sample ballot just to see what that process is like. And if one had to write in for some reason, and that usually happens with the local elections, I think one's time could get it really up there if you had to fill in things too much. But
how do you see, and I'm not, this is not a challenge question, but how do you see this, what you're describing as being any different, though, from when sighted people who perhaps don't have a lot of technology experience, and they go in and they use the machine, and, you know, they're in many instances not given a choice.
I really think the reality is that you have, with learning anything, especially technical stuff, you have to get the concepts down. And if the machines were explained into the concept to do, and why do it this way, I'll give you an example. If you grasp in your mind how the deselect things work, and that it's key to listen, to know how many people are in that race, so that when you get to the bottom of that thing, you know how much next, right? You'll up the speed, but you have to be able to interrelate those things.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to pick up any system, and I'm saying especially for someone who's never touched a computer before, because let's face it, a lot of the design premises were based, how do we dumb this thing down so that someone who's never touched a computer before can,
mm-hmm.
can work on it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we get to the point that, maybe 20 years' time, that the having a computer will be as common as learning to learn Braille was, you know, long time ago, where, you know, then we'll really have the inroads, and then we can say, all right, most of the people are computer literate, so we'll get a write-in system where you actually hear an edit box, and it resembles a computer that you're used to working with.
So what do we do in the meantime, though?
We just got to keep people showing up and use that as a motivator, and I honestly believe, and I'll say to people, look, our credibility is at stake, because if they spend a big C spends a lot of money on this equipment, and we want, you know, accessible traffic signals or, you know, something else, and we've shown by this first thing that we wanted and we asked for that people weren't going to show, I think it's just going to increase the resistance of people to saying no when we show collectively that we weren't going to do it. And many people have said, you know, when I say this argument, people say, well, you know, you're kind of infringing on my right to choose what I want to do. But in our world, the people who may be lacking in something cannot, have to be sensitive enough of not holding back, you know,
okay,
other people, and vice versa.
Okay.
So I think for situations like Philadelphia, that the low turnout will just increase resistance for when we go for accessible traffic signals or any other change that involves an outlay, a good outlay of money.
All right. Thanks for calling.
So I'm sorry I've said too much.
Oh, no, never on this show.
Your guest didn't say anything yet, but Thomas and his guest are very dynamic people, and
well,
I think they could.
Actually, I'm gonna give them a chance to respond right now.
I think Tom could convince a tree to grow sideways.
Oh, I think you might be right, but I'm going to give them a chance to respond right now.
Thank you very much, and it's wonderful to talk to you.
Oh, thanks, Joe. You too. Call me again.
All right.
Bye-bye. What are your thoughts about that, guys?
We did a couple of things, Marlena. For one thing, we put bases to the issue, too. I mean, we went out and we trained the poll workers and the election judges on sensitivity. That was one thing. So they actually saw people. You know, it wasn't just these blind folks with no faces. They met us. They came to a council meeting. They brought a machine. We asked them to make a machine accessible to people ahead of the election, so that folks could get to sit in front of it and actually use it. You know, feel like they were using it before the election. And of course, then we have the audible ballots, which are online, which And this year, well, the audible ballads have been online now since November of 2007. And you can log on and listen to your specific municipality, not just the county, but all the way down to...
Oh, that's nice.
It is. And this year, and I just tested the phone line, they're implementing a phone line which is very simple to use. You choose your municipality and you get to listen to what's on the ballot for your specific municipality just by picking up your telephone. So those are things that I think are unique to our county. I haven't heard anyone else who's gotten that far with you know, rights for us in terms of voting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the idea, Thomas, of if you go out and you do all this work, they lay out all this cash and 19 people use them. You know, that's going to make them reticent to do something else because only 19 people we spend all that money. What do you think about that?
That's a definite issue. And I think part of what Mary Ann just said in terms of getting people the training before it's time to vote is something that can help with that. Because if people feel comfortable with the technology, which is what I mean, Joe was saying, then I think they'll feel comfortable actually going to vote. But part of the issue, and I think a lot of times I hear people kind of narrow it down to the blind community, but the issue of people voting, it's not just the blind community.
No, you betcha.
Overall, the community as well, I mean, has not, you know, doesn't necessarily come out. We have more people voting on American Idol than we have for the election.
Yeah, that's
so
a sad thing.
Pretty is a sad
this
thing.
Year may be a great time because it's such a popular thing right now, this election. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get a phenomenal turnout. So this is a great time for local chapters and state chapters to make sure that people are actually attending. People are registered, make sure that there's transportation available, and that's some things that we have to work on here locally.
When
people to go, we have to work together.
When I was working with one of the first generation of talking ATMs for Wells Fargo, I was their consultant to roll out their first batch of them, and this issue came up, you know, oh, look, we spent all this money and two people used it. Well, my response to Joe is that, yeah, because you know what? We're a microcosm of the sighted community. And let's just use talking ATMs. If you are old enough to look back when ATMs first started back in the like late 70s, early 80s, nobody trusted those things. Oh, my God, I'm not going to put a card in, put my money in. No, I'm not going to do that. Now, they're ubiquitous. Everyone uses them. So for technology to catch on, I think Joe is absolutely right. I think you guys are right. There is training that's required. But there's also a previously established pattern that everybody is a little slow to jump on to the technology bandwagon. We have another call. I'm going to bring them in here. Hi there. You're with Mary Ann and Thomas. Who's this?
Well, this is Stan, Marlena.
Oh, Stan the man from Oregon.
Well, you know, it's interesting. it is really fortuitous that you would have these people on. Because recently, and I don't I'll let these people know, in Oregon we vote by mail, and that's entirely the way the system is working. And this year they're trying to get the system working, and I was asked to participate via email in the mock election. So they're testing to see whether the system is working and how it works, and they try to get people that use different screen readers. And in my case, I use WindowEye. So they
of course.
Yeah, you know, they had to get people with, you know, JFW and all the other screen readers. And I was so thrilled because in this mock election, I was able to go down each and every one of the things, and keep in mind, this is a mock election, but the ballot worked flawlessly. And I was able to do it. They're hoping to have everything, you know, put out to the public for the our primaries in May. And they're hoping to have this done. And but as I say, they're just going through the test. And I think with reference to what the other gentleman before me was mentioning, I think you touched on it. I forget the gentleman's name. Touched on it earlier when you talked about apathy. When you talk about not very many people using the system, there's a lot of apathy out there, whether it's blindness apathy or whether it's, you know, voter apathy, no matter what the situation. And I think the very fact that these things are starting to be rolled out, it's up to us to participate and be involved. And I'm so happy that I was able to be. It felt great to be able to do things and truly have it be a secret ballot. There, I've said my piece. You have a great day, Marlene.
All right, Stan, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. It really is about involvement, isn't it? Getting involved.
It is, and he's right. It is a great feeling. I mean, what we, you know, after I voted last November, I really walked away with a swelling feeling because it really went smoothly. People were, you know, you felt like you voted with dignity. For me, it was the first time that I'd ever voted independently. For Thomas, he'd had like a four-year span where he couldn't vote independently. For me, it was my very first time ever. And I walked away feeling really good about the fact that, you know, we put in enough work to make it possible.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a pause. We have another call, and we'll be right back if the computer obeys the command. This program is brought to you by HumanWare, advocates for Braille literacy and manufacturers of the Braille Note M-Power. For more information on the Braille Note and other fine HumanWare products, visit them on the web at www.humanware.com or call HumanWare at 1-800-722-3393.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll-free, 1-866-666-7926.
This week's Marlena program is brought to you by HumanWare. Visit them on the web at www.humanware.com or call them at 1-800-722-3393. HumanWare, empowering people through Braille literacy. All right, HumanWare, you got twice for your money there. We'll have to rearrange that little list there. All right. We have a caller who's been very kindly and patiently holding. Thank you so much for waiting. You're with Marianne and Thomas and Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. This is George Holliday from Pennsylvania.
Hey, George. Woo-hoo. How are you? Woohoo!
Great.
I wondered if you'd be listening tonight, sir.
If I didn't, Marianne and Tom would get on me for sure.
I'd get on you the next time I saw you, too.
Well, I'm just calling in to publicly commend them on the hard work they've done in Monroe County. And on that note, well, you know, Tom is on the board of directors of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind. And Marianne is on the Governmental Affairs Committee. And one of the things that committee is doing, since they're doing so well in Monroe on different issues, but with especially with voting, instead of these different chapters around the state recreating the wheel, Marianne is going to be working with other chapters on how to duplicate what they did in Monroe County throughout the state. Because
wow.
What they've done is fantastic.
You know, what about putting together a bit of a white paper and getting it up on the ACB website, kind of generically, how to educate and involve and vibrate or stimulate your local voting officials to work with you to create and enhance access.
Yeah, we can work on that. What we can do is put the link on PCBs,
yeah,
and put it on both web pages, and that's something that we can work on. Well,
I love to give people work to do, George, as long as I don't have to do it. As long as I don't have to do it, I'm golden, you know what I mean?
Okay, Marianne and Sean, keep up the good work. Marlena,
thanks,
good
George.
Talking with you.
All right. Sure. Thanks, George. Take care. 866-666-7926. You know, one of the things, I'm going to embarrass George now that he's gone. One of the things I enjoy about George, he always has a smile in his voice.
He always
sounds like he's just the happiest person. Yeah. All right.
And Marlena, just on the note of on what PCB is doing, John Horst is also on a steering committee, which is for a coalition for voting for the disabled in Harrisburg. So he's hard at work as well.
You guys have a lot of good people. Whoa, we had a caller and they just hung up and whoa, that
we
hurt.
We do
my...
have good people.
Yeah, yeah. Caller, if you want to call back, please do so. There you are. Let's push the button again. We'll try to bring the caller in here. Yeah, you guys have a lot of good folks in Pennsylvania. All right, we'll bring in our next caller. Hi there. You're with Marianne and Thomas and Marlena. Who's this? Hello?
Hi, Marlena.
Hi there. It's your turn.
Tom Walsh from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Tom. How are
you?
How
are
you there? Great. Good to hear from you.
Nice to be here and talking to you. I'm glad that you're back.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be back.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say that Monroe County chapter has done an outstanding job, and we, in April, are going to be having a regional conference here in Pennsylvania, in the northeast part of Pennsylvania. And I'm sure that the Monroe folks are going to be a big part of that. And while I'm on the phone, while I'm on the air and so on, I'd like to invite either Tom or Marianne, should they decide to make any kind of a presentation at our regional conference, they're more than welcome to do so.
Wow.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, great. Okay. Great. Spread the word, right, Tom?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, you thanks for calling.
Okay, Tara, have a great day.
All right, and I hope you're doing well.
We are.
Good.
Thanks
all right.
A lot, Marlena.
Okay, Tom. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
866-666-7926. We frequently have Tom on the show around Christmas time to talk about his Christmas cabin website. So that's kind of where I know Tom from. So how do you keep the energy going? You know, it's I have a friend. She may be listening now. If she is, she knows who she is when I'm about to say this. She's been an advocate, both systems advocacy and individual advocacy, for years. And while I tend to see myself more effectively as a systems advocate, I'm just kind of burned out on the individual advocacy. How do you guys keep your energy going as advocates?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'd like the answer.
Go ahead, Tom. Well, I think the work that needs to be done is really the force behind it, at least at this level right now. I mean, for myself, I'm relatively new to the advocacy game, so... As someone who was cited, and as like Marianne was talking about in terms of the voting, where I voted before as a cited individual, and I saw the differences, and I just didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that I had to go in to the booth with my brother-in-law, and he got to know exactly who I voted for.
Mm-hmm.
But yet when it was time for him to go, I stayed outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
mm-hmm.
So he knew who I voted for, but yet... I had no clue who he voted for.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
mm-hmm.
other things, like the APS is just like crossing the street. I mean, it would be great. The technology is there. Why not implement it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things like that. So the work that needs to be done is the force behind it for me
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think the challenge going forward is to keep other people interested in making the progress that we're making. And that will continue to be a challenge. I know that's not unique to MCCB. I think it's just something that we all deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as we go on, we try new things to get more people involved.
And getting people involved is critical, because there tends to be in society in general, and certainly in any blindness organization that I am or have been affiliated with, there tends to be an attitude of, oh, well, you know, I don't know enough to do this, or my little letter won't matter, but it actually does, doesn't it?
Everybody's letter matters, and I think that it's the job of the leaders in the organization to ferret out everybody's strengths and put them to good use. And I think everyone has something to contribute in an organization, and it's up to the leaders to ferret out those strengths and to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that once people start to see the differences, like, you know, the voting is a big thing. It is our big thing in Monroe County, and I think that people are feeling it. And so they want to get on board. Okay, well, listen, this really worked. So, you know, let's it's like kind of like a weight loss program. You know, you see it working, so you keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's once you see something working, it's easier then to stay on board and to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. We have a call. Let's bring him in. Hi, you're with Marianne Thomason. Marlena, who's this?
Daryl Sandro with blindaccessjournal.com. And Karen's here.
Hello, Daryl and Karen.
Yeah. Well, of course I would call, right?
Of course you would.
Glad you're back after such a long absence.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be back. It's good to be able to push the buttons.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Hey, so we have similar issues here in Arizona. When we voted in the 2006, you know, midterm elections, the election officials were telling us the same thing. Oh, if you use the accessible voting, they said it's going to take you each an hour and a half.
Oh, you must be slower in Arizona than that.
Yeah, I was slower in Arizona for some reason. But it's interesting to see. It's interesting to see that is a apparently not, you know, that's somewhat of a national issue, because I heard from others that similar things happened. So, you know, I think there's a number of considerations here, right? So. As we've already talked about, you know, sort of attitude and training of election officials. But, you know, maybe if it is, you know, maybe we need to do some sort of a research survey, and maybe if it is taking people who use accessible voting a significant amount of time longer than it is everyone else, maybe there are some systematic changes, you know, some programmatic changes or user interface changes that need to come in the next generation of voting machines.
Mm, what about that? Have you guys looked at how long it actually, I mean, I'm trying to think, when I voted, I mean, I think it took me 20 minutes.
I haven't gotten my hand on a voting machine yet, folks.
Oh, that, yeah.
I think it
took
me 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It really depends on the length of the ballot.
Right.
And I think Darryl's right. As the technology progresses, what's going to happen is right now with ours, you have to actually sit there and listen to the full ballot. Now, if there's a way to jump ahead, that's going to help out.
Yeah, you can't skip parts of the ballot.
Especially at the end when you have to cast your full vote. Once again, you have to sit there and listen to the full ballot. So that's,
well, heck, every screen reader's got a control silence key, right?
Yeah. Well, with this one, it's not really a screen reader.
I know.
They have, no, it's actually pre-recorded, and that's part of the issue.
Now, in Washington State, though, we can skip.
Mm. Yeah, our machine, we're using
yours,
Donahue.
Synthesized voice, or is it?
No, it's pre-recorded.
It is, okay.
And let me make sure I'm telling you the truth now. I'm pretty sure I am. Of course, I've only done it twice, so, but I think.
Don't lie, Marlena.
I know. I just make it all up here. I think 6 will bring you to the next thing, and if that is, if you're in the races, like say you've got senator and then you've got congressperson, well, I think you press 5 to go into the race and then 6 to skip to the candidate, to go forward a candidate, 4 to go back a candidate. If you don't press 5 and you're out of the race and you press 6, then you're on to the next race. So you don't have to go into the race.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works, the one I
use. Which voting machine is that?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, there's like four or five different models out there, different models and manufacturers out there.
And even it sounds like you have a numeric keypad where we just have arrows.
Oh, yeah, we definitely, yeah, we have a numeric keypad. And we can do write-ins because I tried it, but then I got really scared that they would nullify my vote, so I canceled it. But I wrote my own name in for something. I wanted to see what would happen. And when you, it says, okay, do you want to do a write-in? And you press 5 to go into write-ins. And then she comes on and she says, okay, 2 is ABC, you know, like the phone pad. And, of course, I do text messaging on my cell phone, so I got that right away. And so I put Marlena, and then the pound key was a space, and then Lieberg. And then a synthesized voice read it back and said, Marlena Lieberg. And then it said, press 6 to cast this vote or 4 to cancel. And so I canceled it because I didn't know what would happen. But I don't know the machine that we're using. I could probably find out, though, for you.
So would you guys like to hear a take on this that you might actually find kind of surprising?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, of course I feel that if everybody's using voting machines, then the voting machines ought to be accessible. If they're not using voting machines, because a number of jurisdictions have gone back to paper or optical scan or whatever, it's great. It's important to have a secret ballot, but I'm okay with getting help from an election worker as long as it is done appropriately.
Really?
Here's why, okay? While voting is important, it's also something that you do, you know, once every 2 years or once a year or something. Whereas we have people who have lost or are about to lose their jobs because of inaccessibility of technology. We have things that are barriers on a minute-by-minute basis with, you know, inaccessible CAPTCHAs. You know, I'm now known in some circles as Captain CAPTCHA, by the way. while I don't blow off the need for accessible voting, I'm looking at on a list of priorities, and I'm like, maybe 3 or 4. You know what I'm saying? Instead
mm-hmm.
of 1.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just because of the fact that it isn't something that you do, and whether you vote or not depends on whether you're participating in democracy. But at the same time, if you want to get ridiculously pragmatic about it, isn't it more important that you're able to get and hold down a job?
Well, that's an interesting viewpoint with which I don't agree. But I want to see what my guests have to say before I give my response.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree either because, by the way, I do appreciate all the work you did with the Google CAPTCHA. So.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily agree because in terms of the issues, it's not as though they're all being worked on simultaneously. So what I mean is if we were as a community, as a group, all focusing on one issue, then that may make sense. But that's just not how it's actually happening. So while there's a team of people focusing on accessibility on the Internet, there's some people who are focusing on transportation accessibility and CAPTCHA, the voting has to happen in the same light. You understand what I mean?
Saying it doesn't need to happen.
I know you're not saying that it doesn't need to happen, but it sounds as though we don't necessarily have the opportunity to really prioritize. If we were, and I'm talking about as a community, because even if we just look at our group, MCCB, right now we're working on the voting issue. We're still trying to get APS devices. We always have an issue with transportation, and I mean, that's universal.
Oh, absolutely, yes. That's
so it's not as though we can ever approach it as it's only one or the other, or let's just tackle this one issue for now, and then we'll get to something else. I don't think we have that luxury to work it that way.
Well, how do you get people to, how do you get, I know you mentioned earlier participation, so how do you get people, and maybe Mary Ann will want to speak up next, but, you know, I don't know, but how do you get people to participate? Because even in the work that I do, the amount of actual participation is kind of a drop in the bucket compared to the online connected blind community that I know is out there. How do you do that with this issue?
Mary Ann, you want to?
How do we get people to work with us on it? How do we get
right? How do you get other
blind people,
sighted people, but other blind people?
Yeah, other blind people interested.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of thing for one thing. You know, this kind of a forum for one thing. Possibly doing a white paper. Maybe breaking the process down so that it's simpler for people, so that it's out there. It's a process that people can understand and work with in their own municipality. Maybe that's the first step.
Mm-hmm. And I think also within our group, we have people who focus on various areas. So, for instance, we have someone, our membership chairperson, Michael Bryan, and he's trying to focus on this very topic right now, finding different ways just to get people not only active in terms of the various issues, but just coming to meetings, you know, doing some of the other tasks that need to be done. But then we have people who focus on the bylaws or something like that. We have people who focus on working on APS. We have some people who are trying to focus on the transportation. And, yes, there's some overlap, so Mary Ann's probably on three of those.
And it goes back to what I said, everybody has strengths. So
right.
you ferret them out. You pull from each individual, what, you know, their particular strengths. Everybody has something to contribute, and it's up to us to find them.
And I want to share my response, Daryl, because mine is probably a little less factual and a lot more philosophical. I think that the history of our country has shown us that many of our citizens have had issues, I'll put it this way, with the right to vote. And that this is one of the things that, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm supporting the war in Iraq here, because I'm not, but this is one of the things people die for, you know, for our country, is so that every person, whether they're black, they're blind, they're female, whatever they are, they have the right to go into that voting booth and independently and with secrecy cast their ballot.
Well, you know, in 06, they sat Karen and I down at the same table, and we voted that way, and that we thought that was rather ridiculous.
Absolutely. It's, it's disgraceful. And why should you be treated like that? And the other thing I think is that, yeah, you know, the Pennsylvania folks right now, they're focusing on this voting, but they are educating in that process.
Absolutely.
And so if they open a half an eye of one voting official who might somehow someday, you know, be sitting on a city council looking at an APS request, well, now, wait a minute, I remember those blind. I mean, I think everything we do is interconnected. And you can't rank them as, well, we got people without jobs and we got, because they're all equally important.
And if you've educated a whole group, I mean, we went to two election judge trainings, two poll worker trainings. Those are their potential employers, their potential landlords. You've educated them about blindness. So it's not just about, it wasn't just about voting. It's about educating.
Well, very good. I appreciate your time, guys, and it's a great show.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. And before you go, what's coming up on Main Menu this week?
We are going to have this week a 2 hours pre-recorded content that you provided, Marlena.
Oh, did I do that? Shame on me.
From 2008. And we're going to...
That was my alter ego. It wasn't me. I was never there. Any mistakes that woman made, it's not me.
Well, you did. Well, she did a great job.
Well, thanks.
You know, I mean, it's hard. Everyone who's listening, it's tough to do that stuff. And we're not we're not professional broadcasters working for Clear Channel, so, you know, we do what we can.
We stumble over words and ask the same question twice. And
yeah, but it's a lot of them really like them. They came out. We're going to be running them on Main Menu, and then the following week we're trying to set up a panel of people who attended CSUN.
Yeah, I heard about that. Isn't that ironic?
So,
all right. All right. And Main Menu is aired when?
It is aired every Wednesday morning at 1 Universal or Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 Central, or 7 Mountain, I mean, 8 Central and 9 Eastern. It's 2 hours. It's on ACB Radio Mainstream at acbradio.org, right here.
Right here. All right, Mr. Gendro. Hey, thanks so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Give Karen a hug.
I will. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye. We're just about wrapped up with this hour here, and I promised not to keep you guys up too late, but we've got one more call just coming in. Let's grab that call. Hi there. You are probably the last call. It's your lucky day. You are with Marianne, Thomas, and Marlena. Who's this?
Oh, this is Roger.
Oh, Roger, you sound like you're tired.
You know, you sound faint.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to say that I'm on the Santa Clara County Voter Access Advisory Committee, and we beat on the Registrar of Voters people about all this stuff all the time. Because a bunch of us went to the polls in the recent wonderful California primary and were basically told by the poll workers that the machines were broken or they didn't know how to get them started or whatever. And I personally had to sit and wait for the roving technician to come to our polling place to set up the machine because the people at the polling place didn't know how to do it. And these Sequoia machines that we use, they're the ones with the round button and the triangular buttons and so forth, and they're a piece of crap. I mean, they really are. These voting machine companies are using disabled people to foist a lot of crap onto the public tax, what we used to call feeding at the public trough.
Mm-hmm.
And I really resent that. And then, I mean, like, for example, to activate the audio system, the polling workers have to know that when you activate the card that you put into the machine where it says, do you want to activate this card, yes or no, they have to not choose yes or no. They have to do something to go into a menu and choose audio. I mean, it's just poorly designed. The whole thing is very poorly designed, and the part about the how long it takes to vote, first of all, the first time these Sequoia machines are set up in audio mode, it takes them like 10 minutes to boot up. But then if you're really good at it, and I'm pretty good at it, I can go through the voting quite quickly, but the checking your vote piece is set up so you have to listen to it all the way through. You can't skip through it, and there's a thing that allows you to supposedly speed up the speech, and it actually raises the pitch like speeding up an old fashioned tape, and doesn't speed it up very much, and it's just really crummy technology, and you know I think these folks that run these voting machine companies are crooked. But, and of course, the other thing is that it's hard to get people to use the machines because in the general population in our county, almost 50% of people are doing absentee ballots now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my blind friends are saying, screw this, going to the polls and being told we can't use the machine. We're just going to, you know, do absentee and forget about it.
How do we deal with that, Thomas? How do we encourage people to not say, screw this, I'm just going to do absentee? Because that's my experience, too, that a lot of blind people just say, you know what, it's just, I'm not going to do it. It's just a hassle. It's a bother.
Yeah, I think it's finding those people who care enough. You're never going to get 100%. But if you get 10% and people, you know, of the people who want this and they want to work hard, I think that's what you're going to get the change there. People have to want it. You have to want it. I mean, yes, it's easier to just get an absentee ballot. It's real easy. It's easy to do a lot of things, but it doesn't mean then tomorrow, kids coming up, they're going to have the same problem.
Yeah. Do you guys have much interaction or any interaction at all with the voting machine manufacturers?
No, we didn't.
Okay. Roger, that might be another program we ought to look at, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a really strange situation because there's state certification of each voting machine, and it's really complicated. And then in the state, the counties are the ones who actually buy the things and run the elections, and it's just complicated as hell.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your call. I'm going to let our guests go to bed. It's 10 o'clock where they are. It's keeping them up.
Marlena, the thing to remember, I think, that we all need to keep in mind is that what we do today is paving a way for the generations to come. I mean, there are kids who are visually impaired who are going to need the technology and need us to continue to work.
Well, and I think also you got to look at this with a very broad brushstroke. And Roger, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hang up on you there, but I pushed the button and now you're gone. I think you've got to look at this with a very broad brushstroke because if we don't continue to raise our voices, if we don't continue to make cases for access as the world becomes more touchscreen and kiosk accessible, we're just going to be totally left behind.
Well, we're all in the dust.
Yeah. I mean, we're already way behind that eight ball now. Go to any airport, you know. So I think I commend you guys for what you're doing in Pennsylvania. And if you would ever like to come back on again, first of all, I won't make you wait. And secondly, I'd love to have you kind of come back with a yearly update and, you know, how have your figures changed? Are people going out and voting? What tips do you have for people who are advocating and trying to create enhanced accessible voting opportunities? And the microphones will always be open to you guys.
Thank you very much, Marlena.
Well, go ahead. Oh, sorry. I thought I cut someone off there. All right. Well, have a very good evening. And again, thanks for staying up with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one.
Good night, Marlena.
Bye-bye. That was Thomas Reed and Marianne Alexander from the Monroe County Council of the Blind, and talking about voting access, something near and dear to my heart. We're going to take just a little break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll-free, 1-866-666-7926.
This week's Marlena program is brought to you by HumanWare. Visit them on the web at www.humanware.com or call them at 1-800-722-3393. HumanWare, empowering people through Braille literacy. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business.
You betcha. Your listening is our business, and we are in open forum, and we have a call. Hi there. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Hey there.
Hey
this
there.
Is Danny.
Hey, Danny. I'm glad you called. I have something to tell you.
Oh, go ahead. I just tuned in.
Well, specifically to tell you, remember the one laptop per child thing you told us about?
Yes.
Well, Gary got one.
Is it any good?
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it. He goes up and does his webmail on it. Mm-hmm. It's a Unix-based machine.
Now, does it have access? I don't think it would have access for anyone that's blind, though.
Well, not built in, but, you know, it's got three USB ports on it.
Right, but I wondered how powerful the processor is, but I'm glad he likes it.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll pick up on the line here. I'm not sure if he will
or not.
Now,
the only thing, I don't think that if people buy it over here, they're going to give you the hand generator that they give people in.
No,
which we better start thinking about getting. Well, I got two things in mind. First, I'm going to go to the convention.
All right.
I've never been to a convention before.
Oh, Daddy, that's fabulous.
Now, the wonderful thing is that I know somebody in Louisville with whom I'll stay.
Uh-huh.
Now, if I'm not staying at the hotel, you know, overnight,
uh-huh,
what would the cost be? What procedure do I need to do as far as ACB is concerned?
Oh, as soon as the registration is up on the website, we'll be announcing that, and you can register online, or you can call the national office, and they'll send you the documentation to register. And the registration for the convention, I mean, I can't remember what it is, but mm-hmm, it's like, I don't know. I don't know, so I don't want to say, but let's say $25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then you register for the various things that you want to do at the convention.
You mean such as the side trips and all that good stuff?
Right, yeah, yeah. And like I chair the Information Access Committee, and I'll give you a scoop. This year we're going to be talking, hopefully, about digital TV and the converter box issue and accessibility there. We're going to have discussion about what's up with cell phones, MP3 players, access to MP3 players, the work that AFB is doing and its accessibility work and its Section 255 work. So if you wanted to come to that, that would be like $5. So each thing is just kind of individual.
See, I thought that would have been part of the convention as a whole.
No, the convention as a whole, the general registration. Now, there is a lot that is covered under that whole, convention registration fee. But that's for a lot of the administrative, that we need to cover a lot of administrative costs, the cost of computers, the cost of, you know, kind of supporting the convention. And then the various venues have other expenses like microphones.
Oh, sure.
You know, so that's why we have some of the events have low ticket prices like that.
Since I am total, what, how does someone get about a hotel like that when, who has never been to that venue before?
Well, you're asking great questions, actually, because I suspect that you're not the only person who wonders this, and I applaud you for having the clarity of mind to ask the questions. First of all, most people at the hotel are going to be like you. So you will, for the first time in your life, be a majority. And so there'll be a lot of lost people, and you just sort of say, hey, I'm looking for the Louisville room. Is that, does anybody know if that's in this direction? Now, that's one way. Secondly, Marjorie Beeman, who is out of Texas, does a fabulous job, along this year, of course, with Carla Rusheville and crew, since this is in Louisville, of recruiting and training a volunteer army like you wouldn't believe. And what these people will do is they will approach you and say, hi, I'm Marlena, I'm an ACB volunteer, do you need help getting somewhere?
Okay, good.
And they will know to offer you an arm, they've been taught sighted guide.
Good.
So you're on a roll. Thirdly, there's still a little bit more to this answer, the hotel staff are also taken through an awareness training piece where even if one of them sees you, you know, you're wandering around in the maintenance tunnel. Oh, I don't think that blind guy's supposed to be there. So, you know, they'll come up to you and say, you know, hi, I'm with the hotel. Can I help you get somewhere? So we've never lost anybody yet.
Okay. Also, very quickly, I voted for the first time independently this year.
Yeah.
I had no problem at all. I don't even know what kind of machine it was. It had a keypad.
Yeah.
But I had no problem, and I would think that I don't know what machine he was talking about that was hard to use, but this machine was very easy to use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to vote, do you think?
Not too long at all.
Yeah.
It was a local election. All I had to do was scroll through with the 4 and 6 buttons,
mm-hmm.
pick what I wanted with the 5, I think.
Yeah, that's the way mine is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you find it to be equally easy?
Yeah, I didn't have any trouble with mine.
So I don't know what he was, I'm going to listen to it in the archives and see what he was talking about. But,
yeah.
But also, can he, instead of every single different machine talking, I have gotten another idea. Since everything is moving digital, why not some genius invent some kind of a universal appliance that one could use with, say, a stereo or an existing microwave or whatever the thing may be that would interpret the signal? Because I've not bought a stereo yet because the problem is that most stereos have stupid screens and menu buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sick to death of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting you should say that. I won't mention this individual's name because I don't know if he ever embarked on this as research. But I know of someone who a couple of years ago told me that one of his endeavors was going to be to try to develop just such a universal reader that could look at the LCD on a microwave, could look at the menus, etc., and either verbalize it back or convert it to text and make it work with like a Bluetooth Braille display. So somebody is also thinking about it. I just don't know how far they've gotten with it.
Oh.
Yeah. It seems simple, though, doesn't it? That,
yeah, I mean, theoretically. It's
yeah.
just the problem is that people design these things. I wouldn't wish this fate on anybody, but I guarantee you Windows would be made accessible as far as independent installation if, heaven forbid, one of Bill Gates' kids went blind.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that you'll hear on Main Menu, well, I'm assuming it's going to be on this week. I'm making that broad assumption since it's one of the pieces I got them from CSUN. There is a device in Italy called the C Recognizer. It's spelled S-I and then the word recognizer.
Recognizer.
Right, recognizer. Mm-hmm. And what this is, someone recently described it to me as he thought it was like the KNFB reader on steroids. But it's so much more powerful than what I know of the KNFB reader. What this device, in a nutshell, is a camera. And I believe he was using a Canon, no, a Nikon camera, but it didn't matter. It was just a digital camera and connected up to a UMPC. Are you familiar with the very small but very, very powerful PCs? You can put them in the palm of your hand.
They're no, I don't. I've never...
They're it's called ultra mobile PCs, and Samsung makes them. I think Sony makes them. There's a variety of people who make these things, and so what you can do with this camera is you can literally take a picture of something. Now, if it's a can or a bottle, you tell the computer that this is a round image. It's a cylindrical image, and it will wrap around the label and take a picture of a round label and then read it back to you. And it's pretty doggone fail-proof. You can also, it will also read tables. So let's say you're out somewhere and you are catching your bus and you don't know when the next bus is going to come. There's nobody around to ask. You feel the sign there, but you can't read it. You take a picture of the sign. It'll read you the whole bus schedule back.
Mm. Now, what's the price tag of this thing?
Well, first of all, it's not available in the U.S. yet. So we don't even have a realistic price tag. But it depends because you can do it in various iterations. You can do it just with software where you provide the camera and you hook it up to your own laptop or your own PC.
Oh, so I could take the pictures and then I could transfer them.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So, right now, and I'm just guessing, if you bought everything, the camera, the scanner, because it also has scan and read software in it. So if you bought the scanner, the camera, the UMPC, the keyboard, the whole thing, you're probably looking at the cost of a note taker somewhere around $5,900. But
yeah, that's way out of
Yeah, and that's out of most people's line of personal affordability. But the software may be able to be sold separately, and then you're getting down kind of into the $1,000 maybe area,
mm-hmm.
So there are people looking at it. I'm hoping to get a chance to take it and evaluate it for some real trial time.
Well, speaking of CSUN, is there any audio file that I can get on the net that will tell me? They used to do that years ago. People used to have audio files talking about CSUN. I went on the CSUN website, and it is confusing as can be.
Yeah. Yeah, not that I know of, but listen to Main Menu on Tuesday because they'll be doing a CSUN edition.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you take care, and one more thing, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
All right.
Why is it that a lot of synthesizers now that are being made, software synths, they'll instead of everybody, they say everybody. Or they'll say university instead of university.
Yeah,
or recognize instead of recognize. It seems like they are too, how can I put it?
They don't speak the King's English.
With the old Kurzweil readers that I used to use when I was at college a long time ago, I liked them because they spoke the words the way they should be.
Sure.
But that's just my opinion. Yeah. Of course, opinions are like skin cells.
That's right. Everybody's got some.
Yeah.
I bet
you thought I was going to say something different.
I trusted you completely, my friend.
Thank you. But do take care.
All right. And I will look forward to meeting you in Louisville.
Well, I sure hope it'll happen.
Well, you look me up.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. It's so funny. Danny asked about synthesizers. I was having a discussion today. We had a company visiting us for the weekend and was having a discussion today about synthesizers. And my very first synthesizer was with a Commodore 64. And it said, I was playing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and all of a sudden, poor Arthur Ford, headache. And I thought, what? A what? He-dash. Headache. So in this house, a headache is called a he-dash. Hi there, do you have a he-dash today?
No.
Oh, it's Dr. Bishop.
I do not. My first synthesizer was on a Commodore, too.
I didn't know we were that intimate.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing, no.
I used to play Hitchhiker's Guide all the time, too, and Wishbringer
and Zork.
All those games.
Zork.
Yep, Zork.
Yeah.
One, two, and three.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
I used to get lost in Zork, though. I'd be like, oh, forget it. I ain't doing this anymore.
Fun stuff. Hey, we're going to have 3 weeks of CSUN.
3 weeks of CSUN?
Yeah, we're going to have this week, which, and I have been meaning to call you.
Oh, that's okay.
this week we're going
to... I take life in stride, Jeff.
Well, there you go. I would have gotten to you eventually.
Wednesday.
No. No, I would have called you probably later tonight, actually. I left a voicemail.
No worries.
No worries, I know.
No worries.
So this week we're going to do 2 hours of content that actually you recorded.
Hey!
Yay!
I didn't. If it's bad, it wasn't me.
Oh, it was good.
It's quite good. Actually. It was me.
Yeah. And then next week we're going to do a live panel with a number of people, including Miss Marlena, if she can make it.
Oh.
We moved it forward a week because people couldn't make it. But if you can't make it, that's okay.
No, I think I can.
Okay.
I know. See, you invited me to the party and then changed the date. See?
I know. Well, that wasn't...
See?
I won't get into that on the
here. That's all right. I'm used to that happening.
I'm used to
it. Invite me to the party and then change the date.
Well, I didn't change it. So anyway, that's what happens when you have two people coordinating things. Anyway, and then we'll have one more hour, and then we'll have another week with more CSUN content. So we have quite a bit of material to get to everybody, and so stay tuned for that. So it's that's fun. And then we're going to have coming on later in April, we're going to have the AI Squared folks coming.
Oh, what are they doing with Zoom text?
We have not had them on
days.
In a very long time.
Yeah. But,
yeah, well, they're gonna talk all about, you know, Zoom text. And
they're nice people.
They're great. I spent about 2 hours on the phone with them last week.
Yeah, they're really nice people. I like them.
Really
I
great
like
people.
Them a lot.
So we're chugging along.
So what? I just a question for you just went right out of my head.
No, that's okay. Call me what you think of it.
Yeah. I just thought of it. You ought to think about Mark Mulcahy to talk about
the new level star.
The new level star. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, yeah. I wasn't sure when.
Well,
so we'll get in touch with him. Yeah, that would be good.
I can only say, you know, because of non-disclosure and all this blah 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 blah.
No darn announcements.
No darn announcements. That's right. No darn announcements. But I can assure people that Mark has been doing everything in his power to get this release. Actually, we're on the final release candidate right now.
So ladies and gentlemen, what this really means is there are things beyond Mark's control which are holding up the release.
Yes, yes. Yes. And we'll just let Mark talk about that. But I want people to know that Mark is on the job, and you'll
very
know
cool.
what that means when Mark tells you what it means. So.
That's right. So.
Actually, I recorded the CSUN content with the icon this year.
That's right, yeah, and it all came out quite marvelous.
Well, I messed it up a wee bit in the beginning because I didn't quite know, I didn't take the time to know what I was doing.
We fixed it.
And then you fixed it, and and then when I realized what I had done, then you didn't have to fix it anymore.
I didn't have to fix it anymore.
Yeah.
You had to raise the volume quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I just did the quick record, not remembering that that's lower bandwidth, lower volume, lower, you know, so. But then I fixed it, and then you didn't have to.
That's right.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Well, good. Yeah, that would be great if Gary would get on and talk about that little laptop, And how did he get one? He's not a child, or is he?
Well, the deal with it is you buy one. Well, he is a child, but the deal with it is you buy one for a child overseas in a third world country. And now even in our country, they are being distributed to some of the inner city schools and stuff. So you buy one, and then for another $100, you can have one. So he ought to pick up and get on here, but we'll see if he does, because he's listening in the other room, and that's many seconds behind.
All right. Well, I'll let you go, but I just wanted to let everybody know that we'll have bunches of CSUN content, so stay tuned, everybody.
Well, hang on, because let's see if we can... Hang on. Talk to the audience for a minute here, Jeff.
Okay. Well, let's see. So we have all that coming up, and then we're going to be starting our scripting series on Main Menu.
The scripting series. Okay, I just yelled at him to pick up, so...
Oh, okay. So we're pretty excited about that, and...
Scripting series with what?
Well, we're sort of still kind
with
of,
which screen reader?
Well, I can't really say yet
because
there's a little bit of a change in the works in that we're trying to remain on Main Menu. We want to make sure we're not biased,
right?
And so the plan currently is to.
Am I here?
Yeah, you're here, but Jeff's finishing. Go ahead, Jeff.
The plan at the moment, and we're still evaluating whether we can do this based on the technology of Zoom Text or not. The plan is, if everything goes well, that we will cover both Window Eyes and Zoom Text scripting.
Whoa! All right.
So that people can't say that we are biased to one screen reader, you see.
All right.
All right. That's sort of the thinking. And we're still sort of evaluating that at the moment. We just got access to Zoom Text code, and so we're
very cool.
Yeah, we're looking at it, and we're going to see what we can do. And if we can, that's our goal, is to cover both.
Very cool.
It will be a very interesting challenge to not get everyone confused, but we'll see what we can do.
Well, if anybody can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
All right.
How you doing, Gary?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good. We wanted to bring you on. Never mind. Go ahead, Marlene.
No, go right ahead, Jeff. You can interview Gary. Go at it.
Go for it.
Boy, I keep going there. Anyway, so I heard you got one of these No Child Left Behind laptops.
Yes, I did. It's a little computer. It's called the XO, and it's No Child Left Behind. Is the program?
It's actually one laptop per child.
Well, I'm sorry. One laptop.
No Child Left Behind is the Federal Education Act.
That's right. One laptop per child, and it's you can go to their website and see a little bit more about it. But what I did is buy one get one because I was very curious about the machine. And what they've done is, I can't remember the industrialist's name that started this. He's a very well-known person, but he wanted to build a computer for less than $100 that he could distribute into third world countries. And he had quite a list of things that he wanted this computer to do. The final computer that they came up with came in at $188, so they missed that target a little bit. But it's a Linux-based computer. It has a camera built into it, has a microphone built into it, has audio input, audio output. It has wireless built into it.
It plays OGG and MP3s.
Yeah, it plays OGGs and MP3s.
Wave.
It does a lot of interesting things, but what it does mostly is to build communities, and it allows other of these little laptops to communicate with each other. And if you have a classroom of these laptops and a teacher with one of them, then the teacher can monitor each student's activities. And it's really a pretty marvelous little device. And it's just absolutely bulletproof. I can't tell you how bulletproof this thing has been.
It's got a word processor and everything.
Yeah, it has a little write program. It's kind of like Microsoft Write, if you will. It's not a real sophisticated thing, but you can do bold and italics and underlines, and you can, you know, put in tabs, and you can work paragraphs, and I think there's some style functions in it. It recognizes misspelled words in English, but there's a gazillion languages for this thing also.
Wow.
And you can put it into all different kinds of languages. I mean, it's just a terrific number of languages. So it's a pretty hot little machine, and it's you know, kind of like a little flat lunchbox.
When you corrupt it, do you get like a recovery
TV? Yeah. There's a recovery scheme for it. There's no hard drive in it. They use a
flash.
Yeah, flash card, a 1 gig flash card. And it has 3 USB ports on it, so if you need more room, well, you can, you know, plug in a little more memory on a USB port. You can also plug a mouse into it and an external keyboard if you want to. The keyboard's, you know, kind of tiny, but it's also a rubberized thing, and it's built so that it's pretty robust. You don't have to worry about getting dust and water and all that sort of thing into it. So. And it's made so that you can work with it in the bright sunlight outside on its little LCD screen. What else about this? I'm really very, very impressed with it. It's an amazing little machine.
So it's 188?
Well, that's what it came in as. I spent, I think by the time I bought the two machines, it was like $200. No, $300. I spent pretty close to $400, I think, for the two machines.
Okay.
And that got one overseas and got one for me to mess with. Now that the New York public school system is working with these things now.
Okay.
I was just up on the website the other day, and there are many people in the United States that have discovered this little guy, and they said, "Ooh, geez, you know, we could do some kind of fun things with this, some neat things." And in the built-in software that comes with it, for instance, there's a bunch of music things that you can do with it, composition, playback stuff. All different kinds of instruments and so forth that you can put in, synthesizers that you can run with it. It also has a calculator that will do 2 plus 2 equals 4, or it'll do natural logarithms. It'll do the trig functions.
Wow.
It'll do all kinds of other stuff. I mean, this thing will go from, you know, like almost kindergarten into high school.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at now is what is a good Linux-based screen reader and something that we can run, you know, from a USB stick to try to see if we can make it accessible.
That's more, I think, more of a Peter question.
Yeah.
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 Maybe we'll get him on main menu.
Yeah.
Find out.
Yeah, that'd be good.
What I ought to do is send this thing to you and well... you'd have to have somebody sighted to get it going for you, but if we could, you know, I think it's based on Red Hat Fedora, and it's all open system. I mean, the software is all free, and there's about 2,500 people developing software for it now.
Well, if you're going to send it to somebody, send it to Daryl. He's more the universe.
Oh, okay. I'll send it to Daryl. But anyway, that's my toy, and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
And that's all thanks to Danny, who called us up one night and asked us if we had heard about this one laptop per child. And, of course, we hadn't. And Gary went and investigated it and said, you know, I'd like to get a kid a laptop, and I want one, too.
Cool.
So,
is that tax-deductible, Gary?
Actually, it is. There's a piece of it that is tax-deductible.
Cool.
My part of it is not.
Right, of course.
But there's a piece of it that in the donation part that is.
Unless Marlena can figure out how to claim you as a child.
I've been claiming that for years.
All right, we'll catch you guys later.
All right, you too.
All righty.
All right.
We'll see you guys later.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks, Dr. Bishop. All right. Wow, that was interesting. 866-666-7926. Having Gary on as a bit of a guest. It's about 35 minutes past the hour. We're in open forum. I would love to have your call because you don't want me to talk to you for the next, whatever it is, 20 minutes. Oh, alas, alas, we have someone calling me. Hi there, who's calling?
Hi there, it's Debbie Hazelton and Larry T.
Hi there, Debbie Hazelton and Larry T.
How are you?
Well, we're doing okay. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Good. What's going on in Florida?
Well, it's nice and cool right now. I took the speaker off. It's cooled off again, fortunately, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, because it has been hot. It's been up in the mid-upper 80s.
Yeah, we have the air on already.
Oh, no. Well, we had snow the other day.
Yay!
Yay!
I called your cell earlier tonight. I will hopefully talk with you soon, but... it's just great to hear you on the air again.
Oh, well, thank you. It's great to be back on the air. You know, I went to listen to your show Friday night, and I realized that I had the wrong hour.
Oh, and then, you know, the new promo has still not been put out. I don't even know if it's been heard, even though it's been sent several times and whatever.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on there, but... yeah, I sent out the announce and the friends list. It's 10 UTC.
Yeah, well.
So, it's 2 UTC. It's
10
Eastern.
2 UTC,
so it must
yeah.
be
seven
your time.
Yeah. And I thought it was six, and then we had company for the weekend who had come seven, so I couldn't.
I remember doing that with your show a couple of times.
Yeah.
Calling in.
Yeah.
Why can't I get through?
Well, I knew that as talented as you are, you could never sound like Phil Parr. And that's who I was hearing.
Well, I can be pretty handy.
That's right. Now we're sharing about the blind handyman. That's right. That's right.
And I know that you're blind like me.
That's right. And I knew that wasn't going to get me your show. So I thought.
Oh, we had more callers the other night. It was great.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I missed it. I tuned in with the icon, and Gary had gone to the train to pick up our friends, and I thought, well, I can at least catch, you know, the first half hour or so and give her a call and cheer her on. So the spirit was there. It was just on the wrong show.
Well, we'll have other opportunities.
But Phil, you did a hell of a job from what I was listening to your show. So.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. Well, I'm getting, you know, pretty excited about some of the things that I think I'm going to be bringing to it and more people, you know, participating, so that's really good.
Oh, that's fun. That's
and I
good.
Keep, you know, encouraging people to put out their ideas of things they'd like to talk about as well. So, but Larry is also interested in this one laptop per child.
Oh, the one laptop per child. Yeah.
Yeah, it is an interesting computer, and yes, for Linux there are good screen readers for it.
Oh, there are.
Yes, there are.
Well, you need to get
up is one of them.
Well, you need to get a hold of Gary and
he said Speak Up is one of them. And what else?
Orca is another one. I haven't played with Orca much yet, but I've heard about it.
So,
as I get enough money aside, I'm going to build another tower to put Linux on, so I can play a lot more with it.
But can I run Speak Up like from a USB stick or something?
No, it's
because I can't.
It's embedded into Linux itself. You got to get the whole operating system. It's part of it. It's not a software that you can install like installing Windows into Windows and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's part of the kernel itself.
And see, this is one of the issues with this little computer. You can't install things into it.
You can't install things.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
That's
so,
why they want to use the USB. Hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like they've got it all pre-programmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So if you couldn't run, if it's wireless, Huh. I was trying to think of some way you could run it from another source, but I guess not.
Not really. Not the way Unix is built, a lot different than Windows. It's a totally different animal. I mean, there's no relation whatsoever between the two.
Oh, here's Gary.
I'm back.
And Gary's back. And let me, before you go on, let me just apologize to people for the shift in audio. We can't help it because Gary's audio is louder than our callers, and so.
I'll hold my phone down.
No, it's okay. All right, go ahead. What?
Okay.
You're back.
What I was going to say is that I can actually install programs on this box. It will take RPM files, and I can do. I think I can do TARS also.
I thought you said you couldn't.
No, I can't.
Oh, you can.
I'm not smart enough right now to be able to do it, but the instructions say that you can use the RPM Red Hat, and you can also use. I think you can use the TAR.
Can you turn your computer down too?
I could. Geez, you can hear that?
Yes, we
it's
can.
So
hear that.
It's so quiet here. I can't even hear it. All right, the computer's down.
Okay, there, that's better.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
But anyway, I can make it part of the system. It's the only thing I have to watch out for is I've only got 1 gig of quote hard drive to work with.
Yeah, that could be a little tricky. I do have. I know Jeff Shang sent me. Installation for Ubuntu Unix, which has Orca embedded into it.
Oh, does it have Orca in it?
Yep.
Because that's what I run in my play box here in Unix or Linux is Ubuntu.
Okay.
I'll look for it.
Okay,
and that's Orca.
Yep.
Okay. And what was the other one you were talking about?
Speak up.
Okay. All right. I'll get off of here and let you guys continue.
All right.
And I'll try to hang up easy so it doesn't go blah.
Yeah, thanks. It's going blah anyway, see? There it goes. Yeah. So, Larry, feel free to get in touch with Gary also with, you know, anything that. Because one of the reasons he bought this thing was to see whether or not we could make this thing available for blind children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what
That's
a cool
a great idea.
What a cool deal that would be.
Yeah. I'll have to play with it more and see what I can get it to do and work with Gary on it and see what we can come up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That does sound really good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. I hope your hand is feeling a lot better.
Oh, it is indeed. It's it reminds me that it's there, but at least it's now functional. So
okay. That's
all good news.
Well, we'll have to talk soon. I found some very interesting books and things to tell you about. So are you traveling or are you staying at home this week?
No, I'm staying at home this week. I'm actually teaching this week, so I'm staying at home.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to chat.
All right. Well,
so you got everything ready to go for the convention?
Oh, my gosh. No. No, I'll start thinking about the convention at the end of April. You know, it's like, oh, now it's time to think about that.
Yeah, I've already bought my ticket and made reservations. So
yeah, that I've done. We'll be getting in on the 3rd.
Same here.
And yeah, so.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, we wish you could come, Miss Debbie.
I do too. Well, we'll see. You never know. Maybe at the last minute something will happen. But I am getting into the space that I'm going to rent this week, so I'm real excited about that. And you know, just going ahead with my schooling and, you know, so it feels like things are taking shape.
That's good.
So,
that's
yeah.
Good. That's
I'm really happy
good.
About that.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Well, excellent. Good to say hello.
All right. You too. And you too go make something good to eat.
Well, I just had a snack. I think we both have just had a couple of different snacks.
Oh, you didn't save me any.
Yeah. I still got some here. I got some of these, what are they, the peanut butter
chocolate peanut butter, like M&M jelly bean kind of things that I gave him for Easter.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
And speckled eggs, the malted milk ball eggs.
Oh, my gosh.
And I ate an apple and some cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, hi to all the wonderful callers and all you know we've got such a lovely ACB radio audience. We really do. I just appreciate all the callers that called in when I filled in for you and that have called in on my shows, and Dr. Bishop, good to hear his voice. I mean, you know, I don't get to talk with him anymore or hear from him anymore these days.
I know, but it's been a long time since he's called my show.
I know, you have to stand in line to talk to the doctor, you know?
I guess so. The doctor's not in, you know? I didn't know when I named him a doctor that he'd get so prestigious, but, you know, that's all right,
Well, I'll be one in less than 2 years, so I better be careful what I say.
Yeah,
my
well.
I'll come right back on you.
That's right, Dr. Hazelton,
That's it.
What's up, Doc?
Yep. Well, lots and lots of love, and actually love to everyone, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right, well, you guys take good care.
You too.
Yep, you too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What fun people. Debbie and Larry in Florida. Florida. 866-666-7926. Let me tell you what I think's going on next week. You know, life is but a dream. Well, around here, it's like a life is but a, I think. I think this is what we're doing next week. Got an email from a gentleman in Canada. And I am not sure how to pronounce his last name, so because I haven't spoken with him verbally yet, but I think it's Lawrence Utenair. And he does boat building and fishing, and he's a blind guy. And I thought, hey, I've never had a blind boat builder on my show. So he's going to come on next week and kind of talk some about that and kind of how he got into his sport and what he does. And following that, I think in the second hour, I will have the person who will be my house guest, I believe, that night on the show to talk about what's new at Bay Area Digital, Chris Gray. Will be my house guest, and he will be in Seattle for a medical conference that we will be going to with him the next day. And he has showed some very interesting things to me from Bay Area Digital. So as much as he can talk about that, we will have him on the program after we have Lawrence. The following week, real interesting week, I'm very much looking forward to this. The following week, we will have Dennis Shulman. Now, if that name doesn't ring a bell, you have been living in a cave because Dennis Shulman is running for Congress in New Jersey. He's a totally blind guy and coincidentally been a friend of mine for a lot of years. So he's coming on the second Sunday in April. The third Sunday in April, we'll be bringing Kirk Adams from the Seattle Lighthouse for the Blind to kind of talk about what's new and exciting at that particular NIB agency. And let me tell you, it ain't your grandfather's lighthouse at the Seattle Lighthouse for the Blind. We have a call. Let's bring him in. Hi, thanks for waiting. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, that was pretty quick on the pickup there. Hey, Marlena, it's Chris Westbrook from Pennsylvania. I don't know if you remember talking to me a while ago or not.
I do indeed. How are you?
Not too bad.
What's going on?
Oh, just still working up here in Williamsport in kind of northern Pennsylvania.
Did you hear my guest in the first hour?
Yeah, I unfortunately missed a lot of it. I went to a church function and I came home and then Atlas decided that he had to go out. So
you mean you put God before me? What is wrong with you? Oh my! Oh well, all right, I'll let it go this time.
You know, it's interesting you were just talking about the NIB, and here in Williamsport we have a agency called North Central Folk Services, which does industry type stuff for blind people, and they are really good. Unfortunately, it seems to vary a lot from what I've seen just around the state here, from agency to agency. Some of them are really good, and some of them are not so good. But
yeah,
the one we have here is really good.
Is the one you have directed by a blind person or a sighted
yep.
person?
Yep.
Yeah. Ours yep. is, Kirk is blind also, and I think that makes
mm-hmm.
a big difference.
That makes a big difference, yeah.
Yeah.
He really understands, and he's trying to expand. I've been trying to get them to expand into helping kids more, and I think they're going to work with me a little bit on trying to help out. Because where I live is a pretty rural area. The Williamsport area is not like a really, you know, farm area, but it's not a big city either. So it's kind of, you know, the resources just, we don't really have any consumer organizations, you know, for blind people around here. And there's just not that much around here for,
mm-hmm.
for blind kids,
mm-hmm.
and blind
mm-hmm.
people, but especially, you know, blind kids. And
mm-hmm.
I imagine there has to be at least a couple of them around, but
mm-hmm.
they're kind of hidden. You know, and I went through life in a mainstream school myself, so
mm-hmm.
I kind of, although I had some other blind kids in the district, I kind of know what that's like, so.
Are you still in college?
No, I graduated in May of, when was that, gosh, 2000, was that 2006? Oh my gosh.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
It was.
Wow.
I can't
yeah.
believe it.
Yeah.
And then I got the job in September. And I've been working there for, about a year and a half now.
So what are you doing?
I do programming. I do computer programming for an advertising agency.
Wow.
Which is very interesting because I don't do any public websites, but I do a lot of internal stuff for the company. And it's been interesting. I'll have to maybe come on and talk to you about that. It was one of those things where... literally, I had the interview on Thursday. I had the job offer Saturday, and I started work Wednesday the next week.
And
you can imagine.
Do you go there, or do you do it from home, or?
I have to go there. Unfortunately, they don't.
Well, I think that's
really
better. I think that's better.
I do too. I really, at first I thought, well, I'd really like to work from home, but you don't get the social
exactly
aspect of it. You know, there is something to say about being in an office. You know, everybody wants to work from home, and that's great for some people, but I really think it's better to have people get out there and work amongst sighted people. And there's also, in the IT arena, and even with other jobs, there's the risk of data, you know, if you're working from home, that you got to be really careful with security
sure.
and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's also a risk of, you know, for a blind person becoming more dispensable if they can't see you, you know.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
The blind guy, you know, maybe we,
right.
you know.
Right. And I must say, there wasn't really a whole lot of stuff. I know there were some people in the beginning, I'm sure, who were like, what the heck are we hiring a blind guy for? But I really don't get much of that anymore, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, if people do a good job, their work will speak for themselves, and then, you know, eventually you just sort of won't have to deal with that because people will see what you've done, and they won't see you as a blind person anymore.
Do you find that the environment is pretty inclusive for you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
We do have other people with disabilities on our... We have a deaf person in our creative department.
Oh,
we have a deaf
cool.
person in our creative department. We have a blind guy in IT. And so that's, you know, it is a pretty... They really do base it on, you know, whether or not you can do the work. And
sure.
That goes both ways, too. You know, if you're not disabled... I mean, if you are disabled and you can't do the work, you know, we're not going to keep you around.
Sure, yeah.
But if you can do the work, then... No, I haven't really had anybody ask me, but I'm sure, you know, people will ask me eventually, you know, would you give consideration to a blind guy if he got their resume? And, yeah, I would consider them, although I'm not in a position to hire anybody, but I don't have that much authority. But
I would consider them just as I would consider a sighted person.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, we have to be considered on equal terms.
Yeah. I mean, you like to try to hope that the blind person would be the more qualified because you like to see blind folks get employed. But that's right. It doesn't always happen that way. Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder, too, and this could be an interesting topic. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time now, but I wonder if, you know, a lot of people say, you know, there's a whole lot of discrimination out there. And there is discrimination. I'm sure there is. And I ran into some cases where it's kind of iffy as to whether it was or it wasn't. But I hate to say this because it is kind of controversial, but I think there are other reasons why, you know, the employment rate is as high as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's all, you know, certainly there's a lot of it out there, but I think the discrimination may be exaggerated a little bit.
Well, I think you're right, we are coming up on time, but this is a great topic. We've kind of touched on it before on this program, but I think one of the problems is, first of all, we have a systemic one. You know, you get your SSDI, your SSI, whatever,
and
that's a disincentive to lose your health care.
Yeah.
The minute you make that extra buck, you're gone. Bye-bye.
Right.
So I think there's that issue, and I also think, you know, a lot of people have given up. You know, they just...
You can't do that.
You really can't.
I mean, I went through... I was one of the lucky ones. I went through about 2 or 3 job interviews before I actually got this job. But there were a lot of days when, a lot of jobs I put in for, I didn't even get interviews for.
Yeah. And that's the reality.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not just because you're blind. It's not... I mean, I'm a young guy out of college competing with guys that have 2-3 years, 4 years worth of experience.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you don't get every job.
Yeah.
And not every job is right for you,
Exactly. Exactly.
So there were some jobs, if certain technologies would have been involved or something, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, compete. And that's another issue, too, but, you know, the accessibility of some of the stuff. But
yeah. Well, we need to do a whole program on that. I mean, people losing their jobs because of technology, you know.
Right, that's
crazy.
And I'm sad to say that if we... You know, we do have people in our company that do basic, data entry with some other responsibilities.
Yeah.
But if we were to have a blind person, send a resume for one of those jobs, it's getting better since I've started coding a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
But
before,
they were using a third-party application that somebody else had made for them years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
And it is not accessible at all.
Well, you know what? I have to cut you off. The music's playing, and the guy will come in and boot me out with the trash. So
well,
listen,
we'll definitely have to talk again sometime. I'll send you an email.
All right, we will. Thanks so much, Chris, and good luck with your new job.
Oh, yep.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, that was Chris Westbrook. Nice guy. And that wraps it up for this week on the Marlena Program. We had a great first hour. Again, I want to thank Marianne Alexander and Thomas Reed. What great folks they are. Great energy. Get out there and vote, people. If you're not registered to vote, please register. If you must vote absentee, do that. But don't give up your right to vote. This is the year when our vote is really going to count. So get out there and exercise that right. Hey, I'm Marlena. I'll be back next week. Next week with Lawrence Utene and Chris Gray right here on the Marlena Program on ACB Radio Mainstream. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. It's Marlena at acbradio.org.